Hello and welcome back to Changing Room 4, the Championship Rugby podcast. It's the last episode of the 2021 season. After the playoff final, the two-leg playoff final between Ealing and Saracens has now concluded. So obviously we're going to follow a bit of a different format to how we normally do, because we don't have all the scores and odd matches to talk about, but we'll launch straight into the first leg of the playoff in a second after we've caught up with Sid and Fids. So Fids, let's start with you. How have you been? What have you been up to for the last couple of weeks?
I am good, thank you, Jamie. It's very kind of you to come to me first. Very well. Been busy with work and bits and pieces, a few trips out. Was down in Bath for work, so it was nice to get out of the house for a bit. Like we're getting back to normality. And I've had my first jab, so I can almost go back to licking windows and washing in puddles.
Right, okay. Bath for a work trip, eh? Do you get to see the sights whilst you're there? It's not a place I've ever been. It's somewhere I've been told I should go.
No, I didn't. But the place where I was at this conference was also hosting the Northampton Saints. So I bumped into Courtney Laws.
Did you get knocked over?
And he is an absolute unit. And he is not someone that I would want running at me on a rugby pitch, let alone just the pavement or walking up opposite on the stairs. He is monstrous. As Northampton played Bath. Not this weekend, the weekend before. So they were there. So saw some of the other boys. Connor Tupai was there. I know he was mentioned in dispatches in our end of season team discussion.
He was.
Tom Litchfield as well. I saw, but so that was interesting.
Yeah. Did you get a beer off any of them?
No.
Disappointing.
Unfortunately. Strict COVID protocols, I think, were in place.
Strict no weirdos going up to players protocol, I think, is the main one that you got to get past.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And Sid, you've had a pretty good 2 weeks, haven't you? You've had some news.
I've had a bit of news. Yeah, I've had a bit of news. It was all right. I got given a whistle by a friend of mine. We were talking about coaching a little bit. He actually mentions every now and then that I do a bit of coaching. He mentions it to his friends and stuff like that. And as a little present, he gave me a whistle, and it had my name engraved on it. That was nice. And then I was surprised to see that on the other side of it, it had best man.
Yay!
And the person that gave it to me was none other than Charles Fidler.
Oh, you're very welcome.
So as we know...
There we go.
As we know, Charles Fidler is getting married, and I've been honoured with the role of Fidler's best man, for which I'm eternally grateful, Fids. And...
Absolutely.
Me and Jamie are both buzzing for the stag to Bognor Regis. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah, no, I can't wait. I can't wait. The really lineup, what you have scheduled is looking fantastic.
It's big. I'm all for it. I thoroughly looking forward to what you have planned. So, bring it on.
I've never been to Butlins.
to be fair.
Neither have I.
On the bath thing, I went for... a full-on weekend bender in Bath not long ago. And we went to see the rugby there. And Bath's a wicked place to go watch the rugby as well as, doing all the touristy stuff and all the rest of it. And it's good for a night out and everything. But, yeah, the Wreck is incredible, incredible ground, all that sort of stuff. So if you're in Bath, do the right thing and go watch some rugby.
Noted. I'll try and do that next time.
Next time he's in Bath. Missed out this time round.
Jamie sounds keen on there. Let's go there.
I know.
Write that down.
It's better than Bognor Regis. Yeah.
Well, I don't know. It's never where you go, it's who you go with. So thankfully you'll both be there.
Along with how many others?
Along with 17 other people.
Yeah. God.
It's gonna be a big
army of people.
I'm quite happy that I'm not having to organise, to be perfectly honest. Yeah. It's not a not one for me.
It's going to be mental, but it's going to be good. We'll try and get some video evidence for the socials.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
A little video diary. Yeah, that'd be good.
Shall we move on to the rugby then?
Let's
start talking about Saracens versus Ealing, the much anticipated clash of the Championship Titans. But it didn't quite turn out to be the close affair we'd all been hoping for, did it? The first leg finished 60 points to nil to Saracens at Ealing as well, worth noting. And the second leg, which they played yesterday, was 57 points to 15, again to Saracens, and this time at the Stone Oaks Stadium. So, not a tight affair by any means. What did you make of the first leg, Charles?
A thoroughly professional performance, I think, from the Saracens lads, and dished out what Ealing have been dishing out all season to the rest of the league. So it's a little taste of their own medicine. But I don't think anyone really saw that performance coming. I think that's probably the best rugby that Saracens have played since their time in the Prem. So it just, yeah, you know, unfortunately highlights the difference between what normally is the top of the Premiership and the top of the Championship. And there is a bit of a gulf. But having said that, Ealing played well in patches, didn't they? I don't think they...
They did.
I don't believe that they disgraced themselves at all. Yeah, it's 60-0, but...
But let's just put this into some perspective, though. So 60-0, yeah, and Saracens, I don't think... Oh, no, they have had one higher winning margin in the Championship season this year. But let's look at the team that they put out. So their starting 15 was ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. And we've not seen that kind of team yet this season. So they really did put out their strongest team. There were no fewer than 12 internationals in that starting 15, including one World Cup winner and 6 British and Irish Lions. So, I mean, what could you expect? What could you expect Ealing to do about that? You've got lots of people who are at the height of their game, at the height of the international game, playing in the second tier of English rugby. So, yeah, it wasn't ever... I don't think anybody was ever predicting Ealing to win, but with a team like that, 16-0 becomes understandable, doesn't it?
Well, the interesting thing with the... with that end result, 60-0, and the fact that it was a nil, and the difference between that and the second leg, where at least, you know, Ealing got some scores back, it just goes to show that in the, you know, 20 years or whatever that these Ealing boys have been playing rugby, right, from when they picked up a ball, from last, you know, all the way up to last Saturday, they got to a point where, as a team, they got beat 60-0 by the Saracens. And then the following week, they become quite a lot more competitive. It's not, their skill level has not changed in that 1 week. That's not what's changed. They've not said, oh, let's try, you know, passing between our legs all the time and then see if that, you know, comes off better. It's not their skills that have grown. It's all mindset. It's entirely their attitude toward the game. And, you know, that's what it got put down to all the time. That's what Ben Wald was putting it down to. He said, you know, they were getting lazy, and they were falling asleep a little bit, and they just felt that it had immediately gone out of their reach. But when you are Cornish Pirates and it's round one and you're bang up for it because you've not played for not even just the off season but longer than that because of coronavirus, and you've got the biggest opponent that you'll ever face, and they've actually put out a little bit of a B team showing you a little bit of disrespect, you are in a prime mental state to, you know, absolutely throw the kitchen sink at them. And look what happened there. So I think that's it. You know, about the team sheet and stuff like that, I think Saracens have shown the respect by putting out a really strong team. But then Elin probably didn't step up to that the way they liked that first leg. But by, you know, that experience, that 80 minutes has helped them to enter the second leg with their head screwed on right and ready to do battle.
Well, the commentators and the pundits, we did hear a lot from them about how Ealing had shown Saracens too much respect in the first half of that game. And I think probably the second half, well, maybe not the first half of that game, because it was tight-ish going into the first half. But the game as a whole, they had shown Saracens too much respect. And I think Ben Ward might have said it, but I think David Flatman definitely said it. And a couple of other people definitely thought that Ealing had just gone in and gone, oh, okay, we'd need to be careful of these guys, rather than playing their natural game, which is a really attacking game, and trying to be fluid and punch holes through them.
So does that mentality then, if we talk about mentality and mindset, does that change because it's a two-legged playoff final? So do you reckon it's because Ealing were worried that to say, oh, okay, well, we don't want to go sort of hell for leather in the first game if we get caught out, because there's the second game as well? Or do you think that makes no difference and ultimately they're just two games?
I think, again, this is, you know, this is just my opinion, but I think that first game, even if that was one leg and that was it, I think it still would have been 60-0, because they've gone in wanting to win it. So they've said to themselves, let's, you know, play our game, play whatever we want to play. They've gone into it with the best level of preparedness that they think was appropriate for that game. And then when they've gone up against that opponent and then come out with that result, perhaps all that preparation, all that lead up wasn't necessarily the right recipe for it. You've turned up to, not necessarily like you've turned up to a gunfight with a knife. You're just there, you know, with the wrong weapon. You're there with the wrong setup, the wrong method of preparation. Whereas they've gone into the second game, I'm not saying with the right one or the perfect one or the completely wrong one, just with a different one, and then the outcome is different. You know, you've always got the skill level. There's a difference in skill level. There's no hiding behind that, because there's 12 international players and all the rest of it. But what I'm saying is that, you know, that difference where Ealing are able to put, what was it, 3 tries on them, on Saracens in that second leg?
No, there was a penalty try and then a try right at the end. So there was a penalty try in 30 seconds.
Oh yeah,
and
then that
a
was
try
that.
On but, 80 minutes.
But, yeah, it was kind of agreed that the performance was much better anyway. That performance doesn't change just through skill levels in a week. It's just a different lead up and a different preparation. And, you know, maybe if they took that into game one, maybe things would be a little bit different. I'm not saying that the, you know, final result would be the different, maybe Saracens would still come out on top, but yeah, probably the one that they went into on that first leg was probably the wrong one to pick.
Yeah, although they did have chances. There were a couple of chances that they just didn't quite convert. So I don't know what conclusion you can draw from that, but they weren't entirely under the cosh the whole time. They did have opportunities and they did create some chances. Mm. There was one down, they were really banging away at the Sarri's try line for a little while, and then I think there was a knock on or some accidental obstruction and something like that just didn't quite, they just didn't quite manage to top it off. And then there was the breakaway try from Max Badilli, who we've talked plenty about, and I will be amazed if he's not snapped up by a Premiership team at some point soon, because he's been brilliant. He has been one of the absolute standouts for Ealing this season, and he did exactly the same in both legs of this final. And that he almost outgassed Elliot Daly, didn't he?
Yeah.
Almost outgassed Elliot Daly. Picked that up, stepped him, went up the inside and almost outgassed him. So, he didn't manage to get the ball away because none of the rest of his team had managed to keep up with him. But yeah, there were chances. There were chances there.
So what do we think for Ealing going into next season then? What are they, what do you think they're going to be saying to, you know, what are the staff going to be saying to the players? What are, you know, they're going to be saying to each other? What's their goal going to be? Let's work on, not work on the assumption that there might be this buy-in thing that people have been talking about. Let's just say that they're playing the full season again next year in the Championship, and they're, yeah, going to have a big season ahead. What's the conversation going to be, do you reckon?
Surely that the messages from Ben Ward and his team would be to do exactly the same as they did this year. Why change it? They got to the final. They've obviously got a process and preparation that works for them in terms of achieving the end result of getting to the final. Now, let's not forget, they finished top of the league. You know, they did finish...
By a long way.
You know, they finished top.
By a long way as well.
Well, not a long way to Saracens.
But they finished top, the rest of the sides, they beat Saracens
to that number one position. So if you look at the end of season league table, Ealing ended up in number one position. So they've done something right this year. It's just a shame with the opponent that they were up against shouldn't be in the Championship. And, you know, as you've spoken about before.
Well, from a playing level point of view, yes.
Yes. I completely agree with that as a Saracens fan, yes. From the playing perspective, yes. From the financial irregularities and breaches point of view, fully deserved. And I just think if I was Ben Ward, the message would be the same. I mean, and you've got to look at their recruitment as well already. They've made some signings for next season. Mm-hmm. And
contract extensions as well.
Exactly. You know, a lot of the boys are staying. They've got some boys coming over from New Zealand and Hawke's Bay in particular. Or North Harbour, was it? They seem to be signing up some more front row options, so they're gonna be strong again. They've obviously got a very strong squad for the Championship at the moment. You know, you've spoken about Max Badilli already, but you know the other one for me, Jordan Burns, popped up with another try, coming off the bench in the second leg. I'd be very surprised if he's still at Ealing next season and not flirting with a Premiership squad at some point.
Well, Simon Azokwe has just extended his contract there, and I'm excited to see what he makes of a full-length season next year, because Guy Thompson is departing to Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
So that seven shirt is pretty naturally going to be Azokwe's, isn't it? So he, from what we saw of him this season, it was only limited amounts because he was coming off the bench a lot of the time, but from what we saw... He's going to be tearing up trees next season.
I think so. And he's got the right platform in which to do it. It seems to be a very good club that are building something. You know, and that for me, the next argument against ring fencing is Ealing. You know, who knows what Ealing could achieve going forward. They could be the next Exeter Chiefs, for example. So, you know, I think for them, it's very much, they probably will feel very disappointed maybe the aggregate score of the final, but actually be really pleased that they've come up against Saracens three times this year. They'll have learned a hell of a lot. They've still got the majority of the squad that played with them this year, and they'll look to do exactly the same next season, and hopefully 2022 will be their year.
Yeah, I'd be keen to see them win it and give them a chance up in the Premiership, so long as they maintain the same level of performance. I don't want to see them kind of drop off a bit and scrape it. But that if they maintain that dominance and go up to the Prem, then I definitely think they could, well, even at their current level, they could run the bottom four of the Premiership quite close and probably win one or two. But once they've got enough resources... Or the same level of resources as the other Premiership teams, then yeah, we'll probably see an uptick in their performance off the back of that. And I think it's worth noting, because we haven't really covered the second game much, but in the second game yesterday, I did think that the key difference, or a couple of key differences between the teams, were one, Saracens' speed of hands. The speed with which they pass that ball through the line, and the offloads, and the awareness to hold the ball a little bit and then pass it around the back of the player tackling them, that kind of thing, that was just phenomenal. and was crucial in several of their tries. Their forwards dominance as well, they just absolutely powered through. And Ealing just didn't quite have that same level of awareness at times. I think they had a 3-on-1 overlap which they managed to screw up, which was a little bit disappointing, and it was just because they hadn't quite seen the guy coming up behind, and yeah, it wasn't ideal. And I think, just to bring it back to where I was going, once Ealing have the same level of resources and facilities and people dedicated to developing that team, then it'll be a very different prospect. Obviously, at the moment, I think Ben Ward said that they're operating on a budget that's less than a third of what the salary cap is. And that's not just a player salary budget, that's everything. That's not just salaries, that's everything that they've got to pay for in the season. So the difference is big. And once they, if they were to get the opportunity to even that up, then I think it would be a very different result.
Yeah, and what's pleasing is it sounds like they've, without, you know, I'm sure without being too arrogant, they are kind of planning for the best. They are planning, you know, everything 3-5 years ahead with positive results in mind. They've been asked about, you know, the facility and you know, those standard kind of questions that keep all sorts of sports teams from progressing sometimes at whatever level, things about spectator seating and stuff like that. And they said that, yeah, those preparations are there, those plans are there, and they're talking to the RFU and accessing whatever help they can access and being ready for it. And I think that's really good, because that would be the worst thing for it to be a flash in the pan, you know, go up to the Prem 1 year, as you said earlier, Jamie, you struggle with it and then drop down and then that was it. It would really be nice to see, like with, you know, Exeter, Bristol, whatever else, some real sustainable growth and keep changing up those teams that are being successful. Whatever success means, whether that means winning the championship, winning the premiership or anything in between. Getting them to that level and then helping them to succeed.
So with Saracens promoted to the premiership then, and huge congratulations to them, by the way. We haven't actually said that on the podcast.
Yeah, well done. Good job.
Congratulations to Saracens.
That takes a lot for you to say that as well, Jamie, as a staunch Wasps
fan. It does.
Fan.
It does.
You must be hurting inside.
But do you know what? They've played it in the right spirit. They've taken this season seriously for the most part. Maybe the first round, I don't know. But anyway, for the most part, they've taken this season seriously and they've given the championship the respect it deserves. They've played it in the right spirit. So, yeah, congratulations and well done to them. And they've deserved to win off the back of their performance this season, and they've got the reward. They're back up in the Premiership. So we'll see how that pans out for them next season. But looking forward to the championship season, 21-22, what do we think we're going to see? Or what would you like to see? Sid, have you got anything you'd like to see?
Yeah.
Or expectations?
I'd like to see those distinctive, we keep calling it brands of rugby or styles of rugby. I'd like to see those distinctive, idiosyncratic characteristics of particular teams carry on. And by that, I mean, I want to see Doncaster keep doing what they're doing in terms of their, like, you know, high risk, high reward stuff, you know, not letting it go through loads of phases. I do want to see Bedford scoring their stat of the season, 60% of tries from beyond their own, from behind their own 22, and I want to see Amptill keep.
Do you know if that stat held up?
You know, no, by the I don't. Not at all. If anyone could confirm it, it'd be great. But I want to see Amptill keep beating people up. I want to see them still keep charging through the front row, because it's something different from the Premiership. I'm not saying that it's better or worse. I'm saying that, as a rugby fan, someone who can watch any level of rugby, you know, whether it's, you know, the World Cup or, you know, third team on a Saturday, like, I can. It means that it broadens my range and what I can enjoy. If I, you know, it's a treat to have that. That's just a little bit different from what we're usually served up from the Prem. So yeah, I'm looking forward to those teams really embracing those characteristics that we've seen this season. If we see the same or even more of it, yeah, I'd be dead pleased.
Other than the fact that we've been delving into the Championship this year and we've uncovered things that we perhaps wouldn't normally have covered or have known about, like the sin bin down at Cornish Pirates, and the fact that I very much enjoyed...
Don't stop going on about
you
it.
You love that sin bin, didn't you?
I do. I think it's brilliant. But the thing is, the fact that we're now more aware...
Stinks of a wedding present, that.
I'll go halves.
The fact that I'm now more aware of the Championship, I love it. I love the fact that I'm more aware of the second tier of English rugby, because it's good to have an understanding of where these teams come from and what they had to go through. You know, Northampton Saints have been down and won the Championship and come back up. Exeter, obviously, as well. Bristol, most recently. Saris have done it. You know, I've enjoyed that. I've enjoyed learning and finding and uncovering new things. It's been exciting. And with that in mind, I'm very much excited for the Richmond Athletic Ground Derby next year as we welcome back London Scottish, ooh, hopefully.
Yeah.
Yes.
Home on home.
I forgot about that.
As they ground share with Richmond.
Scottish are recruiting, so they will be coming back in.
So, and I'm also looking forward to the fact that hopefully it's a full season that starts in September and runs through until this time next year. So we have a full season. So we're home and away. We get our away trip to Jersey. We get to visit Europe's biggest sundial in Nottingham. And we get to see more of some of those players that we've mentioned this season that have excited us. You know, we've spoken a lot of Jack Spittle up at Doncaster and the work in the back line there that's been marshalled by Sam Olver, and we want to see that continue. It'd be very interesting to see how Guy Thompson fits in at Jersey and in a very attack-minded setup down there. Obviously, I'd love to see Rich Lane score from on his own try line. I think it's that's more exciting now. I think it's boring that Bedford continue to score from their own 22. I want to see them raise the bar and only score.
Push it further.
And only
do
score
better
from their own try line. I think that's what we want. As you say, Sid, we want to see Ampthill still bring that fire and a little bit of brute force to their games and sort of the up the jumper rugby that is quite exciting to watch as well. And I'm just excited to see how those teams get on. Nottingham, obviously, we're building towards the end of the season. Will they carry that on next season? Will Coventry break into the top four? What will happen to Pirates? I'm just excited. There are so many questions about next season that hopefully we'll be able to answer them as we go on. But I think there's lots to be excited about for the Championship going
and you
forward.
Get to see more of these ugly mugs.
Yeah.
Of course. And we might be able to do this in person as well.
Yeah, maybe.
Actually, I mean, in a changing room.
I'm going to be in Sheffield and you'll be down in Essex. So we might struggle.
Well, I mean, what's close
at
to
some
Sheffield?
Point.
Well, what league is Sheffield in? Are they what? Nat 2, Nat 3? Where are they in this new
county
rugby?
Not sure. Doncaster obviously is right next to Sheffield, so I might be there.
Oh, there you go.
There we go.
Might be there a bit more.
Season ticket.
We're off to Castle Park then, Sid.
Hey!
Yeah, come up and spend the weekend. That'll be good.
So what about you, Jamie? What are you looking forward to next year then in Championship?
Well, do you know what? Charles has covered it all. I was gonna pick a couple of teams and talk about what I hoped for them, but no, he's covered it all. He's gone through.
Come on, it's got to be something. There's got to be something. Find something. Dig deep.
What am I looking forward to? Well, not so much what am I looking forward to, but what would I like to see is I would like to see the Championship given the attention it deserves. We've talked about ring fencing. We've talked about funding, and it's a common theme on here. And we just love the Championship and what it's got to offer, and it's nice to see some of the bigger clubs are getting in on the action in terms of questioning the RFU and why they don't give it the support that it deserves and how it's propped up a lot of their setups. Like at one point, Wasps had four coaches that had to do a stint in the championship to develop their skills, and they've recruited heavily from the championship this year. Rob Baxter's got in on it as well. He's talking about the championship. Obviously, Exeter talking from experience, but I'd like to see that now turn into, or I'd like to see that argument for the championship gain some traction and turn into something meaningful, and maybe even see the championship on a sports network of some kind. Okay, it's not going to be on primetime TV, and Sky and BT probably don't have the room to pick it up, but some of the smaller sports networks that are around do, and it would be good to see the RFU make some agreements, make some deals, and really boost the profile in the way that MLR and Premier 15s have had their profile boosted through investment, proper attention, proper setup, social media, really pushing social media, and the profile's been massive, and it's a case of if you build it, they will come. If you build a product that people want to come and see and know about, and you advertise it, people will come and see it. So that's what I would like to see from the championship next year.
You know, that's a really good point. Like, I'd love to know how many people tuned in to BT Sport 2 or Premier Sports for, you know, particularly that second leg on BT Sport 2 for that final game, because there was this argument in the Women's Six Nations, wasn't there? You could only watch that on the red button on iPlayer, and at the same time on BBC Two, an old repeat of Flog It was on, and you know that made headlines, and people did care about it. And so I hope the likes of the BBC and all sort of media outlets listen to that. And you do think to yourself, you know, if you've got a pretty big group of people, you know, wanting to watch something like Championship Rugby, and if you offer it, if you build it, and they will come, you know, there's no reason why, you know, maybe, I don't know the answer to this, a terrestrial channel couldn't pick it up. I saw a post from Nick Heath,
well,
literally
that
today.
That is true.
Yeah, I saw a post from Nick Heath today saying that he's been doing commentary for 10 years. He's done everything. He's done Championship, he's done Premiership, he's done World Cup, he's done Women's, he's done Sevens, the lot. But he has never done anything on, in inverted commas, you know, because it's so old school we forget about it, what we call terrestrial TV. And you know, so much of sport is owned by now the, you know, the paid for network, Sky Sports, whatever else. Not to say that that's a bad thing or anything, because they do a great job, but why can't one of those channels pick it up? You look at the really good work that Channel 4 has done with the Paralympics. You know, remember, especially at London 2012, incredible work, because they promoted it the right way. And, you know, the power of marketing there. Think about, you know, especially an alternative
channel
kind of channel
well.
Like Channel
they,
4. Yeah, or Channel 5
are
banging into rugby at the moment. Yeah, they have Prem highlights on at the moment. Think about what they could do if they took it on. You know, you combine that with a bit of, you know, Facebook streaming or YouTube streaming, like they've done in the Allianz Premier 15s, as you say, Jamie. You know, you get in on that with the championship. Next thing you know, we've got two really well-respected leagues for rugby, and there's a lot of access there. It would be good for the game entirely.
Yeah, not only that, it helps those tiny clubs in the middle of nowhere, because you'll suddenly start seeing youngsters turn up. Because the more that it's out there, you know. We're talking now during the Euros, but you know how many people will be inspired to go and pick up a football, you know, as a young kid watching.
Why hopefully not
first...
pick it up?
Well, we want them to pick it up because we're interested.
But yeah, so, no, you're completely right. They will be inspired.
And like the Olympics, as you say, Sid, you know, how many people suddenly become inspired? You know what? I want to row, or I need to run a bit more and then take up running, or whatever it is. They're just inspired by something that they see.
I want
see.
To fling myself off a 10-metre concrete platform.
Yeah, exactly. You know, each to their own. But for me, yeah, I think that's the big thing. I think, you know, if it's marketed well, if it's shared well, if it's easily accessible, and, you know, we're talking about generation technology, because that is what, you know, all these youngsters seem to be on at the moment. But if it's there and it's at the fingertips, you know, it will be really successful.
Yeah.
And it will just help, you know, the grassroots game just grow and grow and grow. And if the championship then becomes, you know, a stronger, slightly more professionally run league, just think of the benefit that it's going to have for our national team.
Yeah.
Because the breeding ground where the Premiership clubs send their youngsters is tougher, so you've got to be a better player. You then go back to your Prem team a better player, and it's just going to help. And then it flows down the other way, that the teams, you know, it will just have that knock-on effect. So the teams coming up from the likes of Nat 1, Nat 2, whatever that structure looks like with the county thing that's going on, they're just going to be stronger.
Yeah, well, you look at like New Zealand, you've got, you know, you've got Super Rugby and everything else, but you've also got the Mitre 10. And everyone loves watching that. They buy into it because it's a quality product and it's quite different as well. They know that there's value to it. You've got that, you know, the hometown dedicated crowds. And they're also willing to, you know, experiment with all the law changes and stuff. You know, any mad law change, they always trial it in the Mitre 10. But you know, that gives it a unique selling point. And it makes it a different product to Super Rugby or whatever the division above it. And yeah, it just widens the range of opportunities for people to play at the highest level of their abilities. It gets more people into rugby, and yeah, ultimately, better for the national team.
Maybe if the RFU listen to our podcast, and I'm sure they do.
Hello, everyone at the RFU.
If they listen, they probably hate us because we slay them every week.
But I'm very, very willing to listen to offers, and I know Sid Young is a coach and he knows the game of rugby very well. So I don't know if we've mentioned that yet in this particular episode, but Sid Young is a coach.
I have a new whistle, by the way. A good one.
But you know, get Warren Muggleton, get us on board the RFU, and we'll help you sort out the future of English rugby.
We are the answer.
If Sid and I can set up a merit league universities in the southeast of England, and that's still running, and I know it's still running because 5 years later my brother represented the University of Brighton in one of the
games. Did he really?
He did, yeah. Yeah.
What a legacy.
So I know they still run, but if we can set something like that up, I think we've got the credentials. And with Jamie's acumen now that he's doing a Masters, he's the brains of the outfit.
Oh, yeah. That's
I think we've got the acumen here to crack this and get something nailed on to be successful, watchable, and most importantly, enjoyable. So I'm all for it. If someone, the RFU wants to get in touch with us and ask what we should be doing, then yeah, we'll have that conversation.
All jokes aside, that is exactly what it needs. It needs people that have the drive and the passion and the right skills to do it, to just get it done and really knuckle down and give it some undivided attention. That's all we're really looking for, aren't we?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because at the moment, it just seems like an afterthought.
Mm. Definitely. And imagine how good it would be if we were to get to a stage one day where there's a rugby team in each major city. You know, think of all those pools of the population where we've potentially got rugby players, but they're not drawn in because Liverpool hasn't got a massive, successful rugby club. Or Brighton, for example, at the other end of the country. You know, we should. Why aren't we using these talent pools? Because there's loads of people that live in these big cities, but they've got no rugby team.
Yeah,
so it's got to happen. It's got to happen. We've got to sort this out.
That's a good note to finish on. That's a good note to finish on there. RFU, your mission's been laid out for you. If you choose to accept it, then we'd be very grateful and supportive. But other than that, the championship is done. The championship this season is done, and we can't wait until next year. That's going to be awesome. From what we've seen this season, the teams are going to be raring to go. It's going to be very competitive. There's lots of good stuff going on around the league. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you for listening to us witter on week in, week out. Just our stream of consciousness about championship rugby. We've really enjoyed it. We hope you've really enjoyed it. And if you have, please spread the word, because the more we can boost the profile of the championship on social media and amongst our communities, then the more attention that the authorities will have to give it. So please do spread the word. We are on social media. We're on Twitter and Instagram at changingroom_4. Give us a follow, comment, get involved, join the conversation, and hopefully we can all together do our bit to help boost this wonderful league. Sid, Fids, thank you very much for your company this season. I've had a whale of a time. I hope you boys have as well.
I certainly have. And you know what? Thank you, Jamie, as well for you know, me and Chips have enjoyed being here, but you've been the real spearhead on all this. So thank you very much. Your effort is appreciated.
Thank you, Jamie, for giving lockdown a little bit of a purpose. And the fact that we've been able to channel our efforts into something worthwhile. So I echo what Sid said. So thank you and well done. Season one is complete. Season two, we're going to have our own music. We'll be a more professional outfit.
Oh, don't make promises you don't know you can keep, Charles. So until next season, thank you very much for joining us. We've had an absolute blast. We hope you've enjoyed yourselves as well. And we will see you when Championship Rugby returns.